worship you. We adore you. We magnify your name for your faithfulness, for your grace, for your mercies, for your love. Thank you for your awesome presence in our midst. Lord, as we go into your word this morning, may your word come with power and anointing. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, O Lord my God, once again, that your word will have its way in the life of you this morning. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we are praying. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. I want to say Happy New Month. And I want to bless the name of the Lord for the grace of God upon this ministry. I want to thank God that today is the last Sunday that marked this last day in the sixth year of this ministry. And from tomorrow, we are moved to higher ground. I said we are moved to higher ground. And you are also moved to higher level in Jesus' name. Last Sunday was our relationship Sunday. But I could not finish the message last Sunday, and I said I will complete Sunday. Let me tell the ushers, the workers in the church should sit up, should stand up in case they are not seated, so that the other members can see, but the workers should vacate their own seat and they can even go to the gallery. Usher, are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. Last Sunday, I started speaking about the intrigues of man-woman relationship. I will not review the last Sunday message today because of time, but you can download the message of last Sunday. I will just say that we took a text from the book of Proverbs chapter 30, and that's what we are reading today. As I continue that, the second part, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18 to 19. I want us to read it again. Said, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a sheep in the midst of the sea, and finally, and the way of a man and a maid. And I read the Good News Translation quickly. There are four things that are too mysterious for me to understand. An eagle flying in the sky, a snake moving on the rock, a sheep finding its way over the sea, and a man and a woman falling in love. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, made us understand that he himself could not know. He couldn't, it was a mystery. The way of a man with a woman. It defies logic. If logic were to be the thing in play, in the relationship between man and man, that there won't be heartbreaks. But because it's an interplay of the heart and the head, and most times you follow your heart and lose your head. Because it's an interplay between logic and emotion, most times we jettison logic and follow the wave of emotion. It's an interaction between the feeling and the thinking. Most time we go by what we feel and we disrespect what we think. But I told you last week that anybody that tells you that love is blind is ignorant. I mentioned a few things that you need to look for when you are searching for love. You remember those things? So go over it. I will not go over it today because of time. So I've told you what to look for when you are searching for love. This morning, I will just go into what are indicators of every relationship. If you want to go into a relationship, or you're already in a relationship, I will tell you a few things that are indicator of healthy relationship within the context of Christianity. The first thing I want to say that in a healthy relationship, you must negotiate and set ground rules. What did I say? You must negotiate and set ground rules. When you start a relationship, the two of you must sit down together. Say, yes, when this is, what are the ground rules? You must set some do's and don'ts. Otherwise, if you go into a relationship without do's and don'ts, it's an invitation to disaster. Both of you will have to discuss. You have to negotiate it and agree so that both of you can monitor and police each other. I said negotiate because it should be an imposition, either from the man or from the woman. But from the outset, you must see that you may not be able to say everything, but what are the ground rules, general principles that guide this relationship? So that when, as you go, if somebody begins to go outside the ground, you begin to call him or her to order. Like, oh, my friend, I think we are already getting out of boundary. There's a boundary within which you must operate. Otherwise, you begin to tantalize each other. And it's better you begin to tantalize each other, you are getting to a danger zone. Many times, I see some young ladies, they come from, they wear bomb shorts, sleeveless top, because they believe they are free. Somebody has come to visit them in their hotel because they are free. So, and they now escort the guy. Say, it's my friend, it's my fiance or fiancee. Who go from Maremiho in the night to the Dark Alley, to the junction between the new market and Fajuyol. And you are talking alone together in the dark. You are playing with fire. You must set ground rules. And again, I want to say that in an early relationship, if you are in a relationship for the past 3 months, ask yourself, what value has he added unto me? Any early relationship must add value to the two people concerned. If you are in a relationship, you have been there here for 3-6 months, and you cannot sit down and say, beat your chest, that this is the value that this relationship has added to me, then you need to review that relationship. After all, Deuteronomy 32:30 says, one shall chase 1,000. Two shall chase what? 10,000. That means there's a value added. What's the value addition? If the only thing you talk about is about Romeo and Juliet, a boy is following you, a girl is following you, and the only thing he's talking about is about love, 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 love. Nothing about how you can improve your life, how your vision can be sharpened, how you can fulfill your purpose, how your destiny can be cannot be aborted. The only thing is that talking about mundane, nonsensical, and ephemeral things about feelings is the only thing you discuss. Then that relationship needs to be, it's not heavy. Every relationship must do what? Must have value. And again, I want to say, if a relationship is heavy, then it must involve some significant others. Somebody is into a relationship with you, say, look, don't let just between the two of us. There must be somebody in his life or her life that's involved in that relationship that you can refer him or her to. If you are in a relationship and nobody is involved, and only two of you are just agreeing, says agreement between two of us. What does Proverbs chapter 11 verse 14 say? Let's read it quickly. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 14, quickly. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 14. where no cancer is. What happened? Read it now. Say it. People fall. Where no cancer is, people fall. But in the mouth of a counselor, there is safety. The stupidity of many young men today, or many young women, say, well, it's about my life. I want to do it my own way. So don't let just, well, it's not yet time for us to involve people. It's now, like, just between the two of us. If you are involved in relationship and it is secret, it's not heavy. There must be somebody. See, any relationship that does not involve any significant other is not serviceable. Any heavy relationship must be serviceable. What does that mean? If you buy a car now, no matter how new it is, from time to time, you have to service that car, two of us. If you buy a car, no matter how new, and you don't service it, and you continue to use it, what will happen? It will break down. When you want to service a car, what do you do? They said the first service, take it to the manufacturer shop, or take it to make sure they change the end, they do that. Relationship also needs to be serviced. And how do you serve your relationship? When there are attention, there's somebody you can go and talk to. That, sir, this my friend, this is what is happening. Or, ma, this my friend, this is what is happening. But if you are in a relationship and there's nobody that can help you service your relationship, and only two of you are alone, when kasala burst, you go here where? Are you hearing me? And that is why we have said in this church, let me repeat again. Before anybody, if you are a daughter or a son of this ministry, I've said it before, and I want to repeat myself. Before you go to propose to any brother, or sorry, to any sister, whether that sister in this church, outside, as long, the moment you are convinced, before you go to propose, what that sister must do? Must come and inform the pastor. Not that the pastor will tell you who to marry, but the pastor must get involved. And if you are a sister in this church and somebody comes to propose to you, before you give any response, you must inform the pastor. The essence is to pray along with you and guide you, not to choose for you, but to ensure you don't involve in secret things. And if any of you today, if any of you have flouted that rule, I'm forgiving you for the part, but now you have to do restitution. Anybody in this church who's involved in any leadership and the pastor is not aware, you must do restitution today. And henceforth, nobody in this church is allowed to enter to a relationship or be in a relationship without the knowledge of the pastorate, or thereby you'll be living as a child of disobedience. So, an indicator of a relationship is when this relationship is serviceable. And relationship is only serviceable when there is a significant other that's involved. I've told you before, even in the early areas of marriages, there are times that my wife will tell me, look, I'll go and tell the pastor about what you are doing. And the moment she tells me, I go to tell my pastor in Ibadan, and he's still my pastor till now. That's why that means this ministry is still my pastor. Anytime she wants to terrorize me, say, look, I will go and tell your pastor, she's here. And when she says, yeah, I tell your pastor, I become gentle. They will now begin to negotiate better. So there must be somebody that he respects, that she respects, that you can refer him to. Don't say, we don't want anybody to be involved. It's only two of us. It's a lie. There must be somebody that you can report him or her to. That's when the relationship can be serviceable. And that's what I want to say as an indicator of an healthy relationship, that the relationship must light a candle, must give you excitement. If you are in a relationship and there is no excitement, no candle, is lit in your heart. It's just boring, and you are just managing. How will you survive the marriage? You are in courtship, and the relationship does not light a candle, does not give you excitement. That's where, well, when we get married, it will get better. It's a lie. You need to review and find out, why is it that we can't light the candle? You need to sit down together. The relationship there is boring. There's no excitement. Are we getting it wrong somewhere? Are we doing something wrong? Are we not getting something correctly? So you must be able to come to that agreement and see how that candle can be lit. Because if you are not excited about it when you are courting, you'll be depressed when you are married. And that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. And I want to say that any relationship, it must breed freedom and not fear. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, what does it say? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. So when you are in a relationship, and every time you pick a phone call, hey, who is talking to you? I want to know that person. You are not free to talk to a friend. You are not free to even go to read in the class with another person. It's only the one dirty over you. That is not really, that's bondage. Relationship must bring liberty. It must be freedom. When you are in a relationship and that relationship separates you from all your friends, you have to watch out. Relationship is not supposed to isolate you. Yes, you are supposed to be closest, but it's not supposed to isolate you. Because whether we like it or not, all of all, you will need social support when you get married. No marriage, no home can stand as an island. You, because you become engaged or you're in a relationship, you now forget your friends. When you have issue, who will now be there to console you? So relationship must not breed bondage. It must not be burdensome. It must not be exploitative. When you are in a relationship, you are the only one party is giving. You are the only one in that relationship. Relationship must be two-way. It must not be exploitative. It should be complementary. Complementarity. Complementing each other. So ask yourself, if you are in a relationship, are you actually seeing it as a body? Is it like a cross? If you are in a relationship and that relationship is like you are carrying a cross, you need to sit down again and ask God. You need to sit down with your friend again and say, look, it's like I'm carrying a cross. Can we talk about this thing? Don't just hide your feelings, bottle it up. Say, well, God will see me through. God will help me. God wants to help you, but you need to be wise. You need to talk about it. There are some relationships that you find that it's only one party that seems to be committed, that seems to be loyal, that seems to be giving, that seems to be sacrificing, and you're only hoping that maybe when I get married, he or she also will begin to reciprocate. It's a lie. You have to solve it while you are in courtship. Don't wait until when you become married, when you get married together. And again, I want to say one of the things that indicate a relationship, that when you are in a relationship, it must protect your vulnerability, not project it. When a relationship is always projecting your vulnerability rather than protecting, you need to sit down and call yourself to order. Say, let's talk together. Because you are supposed to cover my nakedness and so to cover your nakedness. But if the relationship now projecting my vulnerability, rather than protecting it, then something's wrong. You need to talk it over. You don't need to gloss over it. You have to talk about it. If you are lousy and your friend is reserved, and they now, why is he always talking? I said, no, Ribe, that's a problem. That one is projecting your vulnerability. So in your relationship, you are not supposed to project the vulnerability of your friend. You are supposed to protect. You can go inside and talk to him or her about his or her lousiness. I'm not saying you should condone it. But you are not supposed to go to the public and project it. So if these things are there in your relationship, you need to sit down together and talk about it. Look, my friend, we are supposed to help and protect each other. But now I want to talk about something which is becoming like a viral disease among young men and women who are getting to relationship. I want to tell you this morning, I've said it again, I want to emphasize it. Sex is not the currency of love. It's just the consummation of marriage. Are you listening to me? Sex is not the currency of love. The way men, boys, and girls operate relationship today is as if sex is the only currency by which love can be transaction of love can be made, which is a lie of the devil. You are in a relationship, you don't get into premarital sex until you are married. A man is demanding sex from you to show that you love her and you love him. And as he removes your blouse, say, Adele, are you sure you love me? Oh, Daniel. What are they exciting to say? To say he doesn't love you. You are stupid. He will swear with his mother. And the moment is done, say, I was just joking, I didn't mean it. Sex is not the currency of love. Any man who is in relationship with you and say he wants to marry you, and before marriage is demanding for sex, run with your 2 feet. Let me tell you something. If you are more valuable before your partner when he is here to sleep with you, that's the truth. Are you listening to me? Men act like scavengers. The moment you remove your dress and you make him to act his way, you are devaluing yourself. Let me tell you one thing. You can go and find it out. In America today, if you go to warehouse, to the auto warehouse, I want to buy a brand new Tia Roba vehicle. The moment you drive it out of the factory and 1 kilometer, it's already shown on that mileage. If you drive it back to the factory, it has lost 40% of the cost. 40 to 50%. Go on. I'm telling you what I know. I'm not telling you what I'm thinking. They cannot sell that car for more than 60% of the original price again. It has been devalued. About 3 weeks ago, I was in Germany. I was going, after my meeting, I was going to my hotel room, and I just left my window shop. There was one electronic shop close to my hotel. And I went there. And they were showing me different kind of phones, new models. And the guy was showing me. I said, look. And I saw the same type of phone. One was very expensive, the same type. Another one was half the price. I said, but are you people not fraud? Look at the model. Look at the model. It's the same thing. This is the price of this one. This is the price. I said, yes. I said, this is what happened. They took it It's not when we buy, when we sell it, we buy with guarantee, warranty. They took it out, but when they got home, they found that something was minor error there. They returned it to us. We gave them another one. We returned it to the factory. They have fixed the problem. Now it's now like new. But because it has already got out of the shop and come back, we cannot sell it again for... Said that's the return. So many people do business. If I want to do business, go and buy those return phone and come and sell it as new phone. Because it was taken out and returned back, now it's been brought back, but it has lost 50% of its value. Women, be wise. The moment you allow that, you are no longer brand new before you are already fairly used. And when you continue, you move from being fairly used to thoroughly used. If you continue, you move from thoroughly used to badly used. And some people are not just badly used, they become scrap. May that not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. When you are in a relationship with a man, the moment sex is introduced, in the mind of the man, a contractual clause already inserted that I can only come to love her if she gives me this. When you say no, we say, okay, I've gone look for somebody else. Okay, please don't come. Don't go, come back. You already enter into a bondage. If you're ready to read, today is the day you must stop and say thus far and no further. Sex is not the currency of love. It's only the consummation of marriage. And what does James chapter 1 verse 15, what does he say? Let's read quickly. James chapter 1 verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, he bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, does what? Before death. When lust is conceived, what does it bring forth? Sin. So, as you are in that relationship, when you notice the conception of lust, it's better to abort it. It is legal. It is holy. To abort the lust that is being conceived. Abortion is ungodly. The abortion of lust is holy. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And therefore, you must watch out for conception of lust in your relationship. When you see lust being conceived between the two of you, quickly abort it. Talk about it. Don't wink at it. Don't wave it aside. Don't just take it for granted that it will go away. No. If you don't abort it, it will continue to increase. It will continue to grow. When a prayer continues to grow, eventually it will bring forth. And what the Bible says, it will bring forth sin. Don't wait until you carry that pregnancy to term. The moment you see that conscience growing, just quickly abort it. Talk about it. And you remember in my book that I wrote, I said that men are sensitive to what? To sight. And women are sensitive to touch. So don't allow, if you don't want to conceive sin, as a woman, you be careful where the man touches you. As a man, you be careful with the kind of thing you are allowed to see. Man is sensitive to sight. Women are sensitive to touch, biologically. So you don't allow the conception of sin. And let me tell you, no man, no woman is worth the loss of your faith, your pride, or your self-worth. Carry yourself with pride. Carry yourself with dignity. Don't devalue yourself. Don't devalue yourself. You can only, let me tell you something. I've been counseling married people for so many years. When you find a couple who had premarital sex. When they get married, they have problem trusting each other. If you are involved, you have slept with each other, and you now, even when you become a pastor, your wife cannot be too sure that when you are carrying a sister, that he can trust you. If I slept with my wife before when we are courting, now that I travel all over, how can she trust me? When she trusts in homes today, somebody have roots in what happened in their courtship. I'm not saying that anybody who does not sleep together is already free. But I'm saying that it's part of the precaution. Are you getting what I'm saying? One of the ways to build your long, because you need trust for life in relationship. You need long life, lifelong trust. When you breach it at the beginning, it will be got to make it up at the top. You just be coping with it. You begin to explain yourself and yourself. Because that way you told me before, I know what happened then. I don't want that kind of thing again. You know, we didn't tell anybody. So you must carry yourself with pride, with dignity. But let me say something. There's a place for secondary virginity. Some of you, you might have fallen below the line. Some of you, you must have done what is ought not to be done. But God says something, that nobody that comes to him will he cast away. Even if that happened to you before, you can decide today, I want to become a secondary virgin. It's like you are returned back to reset. I think there's something about phone. They say you reset to the, what's called the factory. Yes. Reset to the factory mode. If you have been involved before, today, I am calling on you to reset. There's a pride in it. There's a place for it. And there's a room for it. That you can come back and restore yourself inside to the factory mode. Now, I'm going to keep myself as a secondary virgin and carry yourself with pride. Finally, I want to talk about why men flirt and why do men, the women nag. I won't talk so much about it because of time. I just share this. Later on, let me say, at the end of service today, there'll be room for counseling, but for counseling. Later on, we are going to have an open interactive session where we are going to do question and answer. But the question has been asked, why do men flirt? And why do women nag? Let me first try to answer the question, why do men flirt? Let me tell you something. I will tell you a story. There was a story of the tortoise and a scorpion. They were going on a journey. And they came across a stream. And the tortoise can swim through the stream and get to their side. But scorpion cannot. And scorpion now beckon to tortoise, please, can you just carry me on your back so that we can cross the river? And tortoise laughs. I cannot do this. I know if I carry you, you are going to sting me and I'm going to die. I won't carry you. I said, look, am I unreasonable? It's not logical. If I sting you, then both of us will die. Toy said, that's it, true. Okay, that's fine. Oh, yeah. Hop on. He now carried the scorpion on his back. And when they were in the midst of the river, peep, the tortoise stung the scorpion stung the tortoise, and both of them drowned. And as they were about dying, tortoise now managed to ask, my friend, but you told me it's not logical for you to sting me. Why did you say, my friend, it's not a matter of logic, it's a matter of my nature. Say, it's not that logic, but it's my nature to sting. Let me tell you something. After the fall of man, by nature, men are polygamous. And the only thing that changes a man is Christ. Any man in whom Christ is not resident is what? daily mark. And I will tell young men, young women, don't go for unbelievers. There was nothing you can do to keep a man if it's not a, if there's fire of God's not in him. Are you listening to me? It is not a matter of logic. It's a matter of nature. After the fall of man, it's only Christ that has come to redeem that nature. And that is why, if you want peace of mind, go for a child of God. Those I will preach to him, he will follow me to church. And after he follow me to, after some time, we become born again. It's a lie. By nature, if without Christ, man is polygamy in nature. But Christ is the one that comes to redeem us. The only thing you have to do, a Christian man and unbeliever, is just the Christ inside him. But then, why do women nag? I won't talk so much about it. I'll just throw it maybe later on. In another series, I'll talk more about it. Now, people ask me, why do women nag? Let me try to summarize this. The only reason I can say, and the women are here, they can tell me whether I get it right or wrong. Women nag when they lack attention. True or false? Am I right, women? Women nag when they lack attention. Women, by nature, they are more voluminous. They are more emotional. They are more impulsive. They are more instantaneous. They want an answer quickly. But men, by nature, are more reserved. They delay response. They are inclined to logic. They don't. Maybe a man comes, maybe he's thinking about 1,001 things. And the woman has been waiting. That when he comes, he has to talk about this. Before he even said that Robbins, as soon as she says sit down, it's begin to pour out her heart. She wants attention. But your mind is not there. You speak the first time, you didn't notice. Tell God. Next time, she begins to nag. So it's a battle of communication. But the only way we can prevent women from nagging is to give them more attention. For as long as a woman does not get attention, the woman will nag. It's a matter of communication mode. The woman wants to communicate with the heart. But most time, we men want to communicate with our head. Can't you see that I'm busy? Can't you see I've just come back? Can't you see that I'm tired? Woman does not see that most of the time. He or she wants to pour out what's in her mind. And so, until you are able to see them and give the woman the attention, she will feel her needs. And then, no, women, so they don't arrange things in conscious order. They just pour it the way it comes. Maybe you are still trying to rearrange it. Why you are arranging it, say, why are you not seeing me? Say, Gbomini, Eko Mombasoroni. And if you also react, then Aramara Bombulowo. Sometimes you just need to calm down. It's okay. Or you try to tag along while you are still processing it. Because sometimes men they have a long processing time. But a woman wants immediate answer, automatic question, automatic answer. But several times it does not work that way. However, if we complement each other, if we love each other, if we have this common harmony with each other, there's nothing between the two of you that cannot be resolved. And at worst, when there is a significant other, that is involved in relationship at any point in time, it can be called upon. I hope I will be able to talk more about this as some other, but let me just read John chapter 37 as I round off this message. John chapter 6 verse 37. Can we look at it quickly? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to him I will in no wise cast out. Now, I have talked about the indicators of every relationship. There may be some ways by which some of us we are falling by the wayside. But remember what I said, you can reset to the factory mode. And the only way to reset to the factory mode is to come to the Lord in repentance and come to the Lord in submission. This morning, I don't know whether you are in a relationship or you are not even in a relationship, but you've seen yourself going the other way. But this morning is a new day. It's a new beginning. The Lord is here calling on you. Say, I want to give you a new hope. I want to give you a new beginning. Let's stand on our feet. I want us to sing this song, Sweet Jesus, How I Love Calling Your Name.
Call it sweet Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
How I love.
How I love.
Calling your name.
Calling your name.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
Sweet Jesus.
Jesus.
Every day.
Every day.
You have been a victim of deception. It is never too late to retrace your step. I want to tell you a story for 1 minute. It's a very sad story. I don't know whether my wife remembered this lady I told her about before. She came to this university, a brilliant student, studied law, graduated as a lawyer. But somewhere along the line, she felt a very wrong relationship. She was just invited to come out of campus, to come and visit. She thought it was just a friend. She lacked knowledge or understanding. Maybe the boy took her note. Say, I will copy it. I want to get your note. Come and I will give you back. And the boy refused to give him that the note. And the exam was coming. And the boy now called her to come and collect the note. The stupid, sorry, the innocent girl left the campus, came in the night to and collect the note from the boy in the road. And that night she was raped. Just in that time, she told me she felt that she had lost her pride. And then she said, look, sex was not a gift to her. And that was the beginning of how she began to slide. I tried to counsel her. I talked to her, but unfortunately, she went haywire. Today, the girl is dead. I've always told you, the only reason why they put a reverse gear in your car is that when you are going the wrong direction, you can turn back. Many of you, we are here today. You are into wrong relationship. It's time to pull reverse gear. If I park my car now and I face this fence, look, my car is outside there. I'm facing here. If I don't reverse, I say I want to move forward. Where I go and hit the wall. Many of you are going the right direction. Today is the time for you to reverse back and come to the Lord. So we have the opportunity today to return to the factory mode. I will sing that song again, and I will just pray for you. Let's sing it. And I mean it. Apart from the pastor on the altar, all eyes closed. You are been going in the wrong direction. But today, you want to reset. Because of the strange nature of this matter, I won't bring you out, but you can see me after. Lift your hand wherever you are in the congregation. I want to pray for you. You are. God bless you. God bless you. You will know you are being going in the wrong direction, but today you want to reverse and reset. Just lift your hand. God bless you. Put that your hand on your head. That your right hand put on your head. I'm not going to ask you to come forward because I don't, but you can see me after. God bless you. God bless you. I'm waiting for the others. I know there are still some of you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We sing that song one more time. If you want to join, you can still do the same thing. Just put your hand on your head and I'll go to pray for you. Sweet Jesus.
Calling Jesus.
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 Of you who are just put your hand down here, I'm going to pray for you where you are. Lord, I pray for these your children. They have examined themselves in the mirror of your word, and Lord, they are calling upon you for mercy. Lord, I pray for your mercy upon their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, have mercy upon this one. Lord, have mercy upon this one. Lord, have mercy upon this one. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, from today onward, let there be a new life, a new direction, a new leading, a new path for them to follow. In the mighty name of Jesus. Some of them are emotionally bruised. Some of them are emotionally traumatized. Some of them are emotionally wounded. Father, heal their wounds. Father, heal their wounds. Father, heal their wounds. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name. You can put out your hands, but you can see me later. I'll see any of the pastors. Now I want you to begin to pray that God will guide you in your life. You not fall into wrong hands. You not get into the wrong relationship. You not head up in a bad relationship, in a difficult relationship, begin to pray that God will lead you. Remember, I told you last week that you can search, but only God can guide. Ask God to guide you, God to lead you, God to direct you. That at the end of the day, you will not end up badly. And if you're already in a relationship and things are not working well, begin to ask God to repair it, to service it, to put it in order, to come and intervene. In the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning for everyone who is here today. I ask and I pray, let everyone have a happy home in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for divine direction. I pray for divine leading in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, if there's anybody is in leadership that's difficult, that's having difficulties now, Lord, I ask that you step in. I pray that you help them out. I pray that you sort them out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I ask and I pray, Lord, that the joy of a good home will be the portion of everyone that's here today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, bless your name. In Jesus' name we are praying.